May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, because it's Lent, I always ask the Lord during Lent to not take it easy on me. That I want him to speak words. He always speaks the truth in love, but he would speak the truth no matter how hard it might be for me to hear it. Because this is a season of advancement, particularly set apart for that. And by the way, it's good to be home. And thank you for praying me home. I love God's will. And so I do the House of Bishops in October for a week, but in this time of year, it's Patriarch's Council, and then there's a few days, and then there's House of Bishops. So it's like 2 weeks. And so I love God's will, no matter how harsh it might be. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm really, really glad to be home. I think I've shared this with you over the years that I've discovered is that God often talks about testing our faith and our hearts, those kind of things, just to see if we're really ready in our own lives for breakthrough, in our own personal lives to move into a larger space spiritually. But I remember in school, we would have these pop quizzes like every day. And then we'd have these semester exams. With the Lord, you never know when the pop quiz was the semester exam. He'd been teaching things, and you've been praying to him and declaring things in prayer and praise about where you are and how much you love him, how much you want a more experience of him. And then he'll give you this test. And it seems like something really little, but it was actually the semester exam. And if you don't get it right, you got to repeat the course, the semester. And it affects God's timetable, his clock, in terms of your advancement in the things of the Lord. And so we treat some things, little things that seem to be, sort of with indifference, or we compromise our integrity a little bit, or our obedience a little bit. We make excuses, not knowing that was actually the big one. I remember once in I've shared this with you before. An example would be when we were last year in Africa, and we were just outside of Mbali, and we would minister to this small, it was a little bit small church where Gogo's making his cathedral. But there was one girl, she was like 13 or 14, and CTK, as you heard this story a year ago, but just makes the point, her name was Sandra, and she was albino. And what comes with that are some other sicknesses and skin stuff. But she had a lot of these sores and stuff on her. And at one time, they thought she even had AIDS, but they said she didn't. And we prayed for her, and we didn't see any healing. And so we were going to get into the bus to leave. We'd been ministering through the day. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly. He said, I want you to go over. She had some pretty bad sores, open sores in one arm. And he said, I want you to go kiss those sores. Because she had no family. It was just people in the village who were taking care of her. She was an outcast. But she helped lead worship. She was the main worship leader. And there was just something about her that everybody kind of fell in love with. Well, I was pretty resistant in my own heart because I thought, because when you go to Africa, one of the first priorities is don't catch anything. You know, don't drink the water, don't do all the stuff. And I'm a real stickler about that. I thought, Lord, you know. But in the end, I was just about to get on the bus and not be obedient, hoping I was just saying that to myself. And the Lord said, you're going to need a real breakthrough in the next place you guys are going, and this is going to determine whether you get the breakthrough. So he kind of alerted me. He doesn't always do that, but he's a very kind father. So he alerted me, this is the pop test, Chuck. And so I did. I went, and just before we got on the bus, I kissed her wound in front of people, just so an open expression of love. Our next stop, which was in Tanzania, in Humbolo, had real resistance. There was a lot of stuff. We had come into this little village, and they were mainly from this large denominational group, which is the largest one in Tanzania. And clergy from that group had gone around and told all of them that we were all gay and that we were demon-possessed and we were witchcraft, and so not to come out. Well, they came out in curiosity, but hardly anything happened. I mean, we had some things healed, but probably it was our day. I don't know, maybe 50% of the people got healed. And so that was very uncommon compared to what we'd been experiencing. And we had a bunch of clergy get filled with the Holy Spirit. That was good. But it was the next day. There was a lot of demonic stuff, and the next day we had a major breakthrough. And God just did all kinds of awesome stuff, and we did. And I realized that doing that little thing, that little act of love, public love, was a place that opened the door. It was the pop test. God was good enough to tell me, because I was about to get on the bus, because I was afraid. And so something similar happened in Orlando. And so we were in Orlando, and I have my suit that I had, and I took a coat hanger, one of those like heavy-duty ones, but the hang part screws into the plastic part. So when I get to pack to leave, it broke. The little thing came apart from each other. And so I thought, well, they got like 20 coat hangers in this closet made out of wood. It's got the little clips. I thought, surely they don't count all of them. And I know people who've got closets full of hotel towels and mugs and everything else. And so I thought, Olivia, I said, I'm just going to use one. I'm going to take one of their things, towels. And she said, yeah, fine. So I did it, clipped it all in there, got it to go. And the Holy Spirit just stopped me and said, that doesn't belong to you. And I'm not trying to be a legalist, everybody. You know, I go over 55, but all I can just tell you is that in that moment, the Holy Spirit, that doesn't belong to you. And I thought, wow. And so I didn't hear him tell me this. I thought, what if this is one of those little pop quizzes? And if I just ignore him, it could cost a lot. And so I just wanted to be obedient because I knew he was telling me, that didn't belong to you. So I just said, Olivia, so I didn't have a coat hanger. I just folded this stuff up and put it in the back of my car, which made it harder to haul around because it's an extra trip. But that was one example of just your obedience being 100%, even in the small things. And so this is what I wanted to read to you. This is about Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias and Elizabeth were old. They had been praying for many, many years to have a child. And yet God never answered that prayer until they're at the point where they're really too old to have a child. And she'd been barren, and she was too old. It says, this is Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife and the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. What is the requirements of the Lord? That coat hanger doesn't belong to you. And so it goes on and tells the story. He's burning incense. The angel comes and appears to him and says, don't be troubled. And he said, don't be afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard all these years. Your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he'll drink no wine or liquor. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to their Lord, and it will be he who is a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous and to make people ready, prepared for the Lord. And I love that. He said, if you really want to know to make ready for the Lord coming in your life in a new way, he said, there's an attitude of the righteous that has to be established in you. Now you need to hear that word. Lent's all about the ministry of John the Baptist, repentance, prepare the way for the Lord. We're asking God for more. We're crying out for God that we would be positioned as a people, that God would do such shifts in us, that we would be positioned as a people, that we would carry a greater anointing and a greater presence. And so what God does, he establishes a deeper understanding of an attitude of the righteous. Attitude is about attitude and about thought life and those kind of things. And he says, that's why in verse 6, they were both righteous in the sight of God. Then interesting, they didn't carry an offense all those years because God had not answered their prayer yet. They were righteous in the sight of God and were blameless in terms of the law, but they were also in reference to his requirements of them, coat hangers and such. This has been a real prayer of mine, particularly last week or so. God, I want to be righteous in your sight. Now, Olivia's not a bad person. Gazillion Christians take coat hangers and pillows and everything else. But you know what was important was that in his sight, I was walking in righteousness. It didn't matter whether anybody else thought it was okay. I could have called somebody in the church and said, hey, I don't have a coat hanger. Do you think I got 20 in this one closet? Oh, yeah, it doesn't make a big deal. People do it all the time. But I had to be righteous in his sight. And that's not what everybody else sees or doesn't see. That's about what's going on inside of me, my attitude and my thought life. And for some reason, we think that grace is about how much can I get away with? Because I know he loves me, and he's going to keep loving me. But you see, what grace manifests in us more than anything else is how much he loves us. And the truth of the consequences of grace is, God, I don't want to get away with anything. And so I just want to encourage you, as we cry out in Lent, for God to do a greater work in us. If we really want to know the coming of the Lord in a new way, then our heart needs to be, God, give me the attitude of the righteous, whose desire is to live righteous in your sight. Not what I can get away with in the sight of others, or what other people do or don't do, but for me, what you see going on inside of me, what you consider right and wrong. Lord, do that work in me. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.